Right. Welcome to another deep dive. We got a really interesting research article sent in by one of our listeners.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And, you know, it's all about, leveling up in your career as a perfusionist.
Nice.
That's kind of what we're going to dive into today. And the article itself, I'll just give you the title, is Development of a Professional Advancement Model for Perfusionists.
Catchy.
Yeah, catchy, right.
Yeah.
And you're with me today. You know, you're an expert in this kind of stuff. So,
Well, I'll do my best.
yeah. You're fantastic at helping professionals, like, you know, the people listening thrive, right? Like, really just make sense of this information and apply it.
Right. I think that's the most important part, to make it useful for people.
Yeah, totally. So this is a pretty hot topic, I think. Especially when we look at kind of the current situation for perfusionist, like in the workforce, you know?
Absolutely.
So maybe we can start there, right? Like, what's the article saying about, like, just the field in general for perfusionists right now?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the things that really jumps out is they point to these statistics about turnover and vacancy rates. And they're really pretty high.
Higher than I thought, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, so like a 2019 survey found the vacancy rate for perfusionists was 12.3%.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, and a turnover rate of 14.7%.
Oh, wow.
So that's a lot of movement, and it points to the fact that we need to find ways to keep perfusionists happy and fulfilled in their job.
Yeah, like engaged, right? Like really
Yeah.
wanting to stick around.
Exactly.
And it seems like, I don't know, like the system itself is kind of like there's these cracks showing, right? It's like
Yeah.
we need to address this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I guess this idea of a professional advancement model comes in, a PAM.
Yeah.
I was actually reading about how these are like helping in other areas too, like healthcare,
Yeah, absolutely.
like, you know, nursing and for advanced practice providers.
Right, like your nurse practitioners, your PAs.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems like they're seeing some good stuff, right? Like less turnover, happier teams, just all around good vibes.
Yeah, it's really tapping into something fundamental, I think, which is people want to be recognized, they want to grow. And instead of hoping that people stick around, this model actually gives people a path to grow and advance, and it rewards them for doing that.
So it's not just like put in your time and that's
No,
it. It's
right.
like you can actually be rewarded for doing more, for learning, for developing.
Right, exactly. It changes the whole mindset. So you go from just doing your job to actively trying to develop as a professional.
I like that. So paint me a picture here, right? What does this PAM actually look like in action, right?
So think of it as this kind of system with tiers, right? So you're climbing a ladder, and as you gain experience and you accomplish certain things, you go up these tiers. And each tier comes with new benefits. So, you'd move up maybe with salary increases or even new opportunities within your organization.
So there's like tangible benefits too.
Absolutely.
It's not just like, you know, you get a gold star, like you actually get,
Right.
you know, better pay, maybe better, you know, responsibilities.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the article, right, it goes into a PAM that they've, you know, put together for specifically for perfusionists. Can
Yes.
you know, tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this is where it gets really interesting for your listeners. So they propose this four-tiered model, and it starts at perfusionist one, which is kind of like your entry level,
Okay.
and then you go all the way up to perfusionist four.
So there's like a clear trajectory from the start.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole model's built around these four key areas. So you've got leadership, you've got clinical excellence, education, and service. And within each of these areas, you've got all these activities that you can do to earn points, which then move you up.
Okay, so give me an example, right? Like what would be like under leadership? Like how could someone earn points there?
Yeah, so you could earn points for being a member of a professional organization or even serving on a hospital committee.
Okay, that makes sense. What about like clinical excellence? I'm guessing that's like staying up on new research and
Absolutely.
maybe like contributing to quality improvement initiatives.
Spot on. And then, for education, you could be presenting at conferences, you could be working towards an advanced degree. And then for service, you could be mentoring new perfusionists or doing some kind of community outreach related to heart health.
It seems like there's a lot of options there, which is good, right? Because it allows people to kind of pick and choose
Yeah.
based on their interests and strengths. You're not like locked into one specific thing.
Right. And I think that's key to making this model effective because it recognizes that professional growth can take different forms. You know, you're not just going to be good at one thing.
Yeah. So this is all great, you know, and I'm sure our listeners are you know, their ears are perking up like this is really interesting. But I think we need to bring it back to them a little bit.
Right. Right. Right.
Why should they care about this? Like, how can this model, this PM thing, actually impact their careers?
Yeah. I think that's $1 million question, right?
Yeah.
So think about it this way. This model gives you a roadmap. It tells you exactly what you can do to move up in your career and reach your full potential as a perfusionist.
Okay.
And of course, with that often comes higher earnings as well.
Yeah.
But it's not just about the bigger paycheck, right? It's about feeling valued. It's about feeling like you're being recognized for the expertise that you bring to the table.
Absolutely. So, okay, so we talked about the good stuff. What about, are there any challenges, though, to putting a system like this in place?
Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing's perfect, right? It's not always going to be easy. I think one of the biggest things is getting everybody on board, especially if you're in a smaller department where resources might be a bit tight.
Sure.
Because a PAM, to really work well, you need that buy-in from leadership.
Right.
You need a dedicated team to manage the program. And of course, you need funding to support things like those salary increases that we were talking about.
You can't just like have this great idea on paper and not have the support to actually like put it into action.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing is making sure the application process is really fair and transparent.
Okay.
You need to have clear criteria for how people move up, and you need a way to objectively evaluate everyone.
Yeah. You don't want it to feel like, you know, there's favoritism or bias involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So that's great. We've covered, I think, a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive.
Yeah, I think so.
But I want to leave our listeners with something to think about. You know, if you were designing a PAM for your workplace, like what would you add to make it truly like exceptional? Like what would you do to make it yours? You know?
Oh, that's a great question.
Think about that. We'll be back in part two.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's a good challenge though.
It is. But you know, let's get a little bit practical for a minute.
Okay.
So let's say your hospital, you know, you're listening right now and your hospital says, hey, we're implementing a PAM.
Awesome.
Right. And you're ready. You're like, I'm going to go for this. I'm going to apply for advancement.
Yeah.
What are some like key things that people should keep in mind?
Well, I think first and foremost, documentation is really key.
Okay.
So, you know, all those activities that we talked about, you know, for earning points.
Right. Right.
You need to have the proof. You know, you need certificates of attendance from conferences. You need copies of publications. You might even want to have letters of recommendation from people that you've worked with.
So it's not enough to just like do the work. You have to be able to like show it, prove it.
Exactly.
Have like a portfolio, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. And don't be shy about highlighting the impact of what you've done.
Okay.
You know, like did you work on a quality improvement project that led to better outcomes for patients?
Right.
Did your presentation at a conference, you know, get people talking and really generate some good discussion?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. It's not just about, you know, what you did, but like what was the impact of it?
Exactly.
Right. I'm sure, you know, some people listening might feel a little bit, intimidated by the whole process, right?
Yeah,
especially if they're aiming for like, you know, one of those top tiers.
Sure. Okay.
Do you have any advice for people maybe who are feeling a little nervous about it?
Yeah, I think it's natural to feel nervous, but,
yeah,
you know, this is really about celebrating your achievements.
Okay. Yeah.
So one thing that can be helpful is to connect with people that have already gone through the process.
Okay.
Get their insights, you know, maybe even ask if you can see their, you know, application materials, just to get a sense of...
Like a mentor, almost.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, don't underestimate the power of preparation.
Okay.
Take the time to really review those PAM criteria, gather all your documentation, and practice talking about your accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
The more prepared you are, the more confident you'll feel.
Confidence is key. Okay, let's talk about, you know, the elephant in the room.
Salary.
Yeah, salary increases.
Right.
I'm sure everyone's wondering, like, how much of a bump can you actually get from this?
Yeah, that's the question, right? And, you know, it does vary a lot. It depends on the specific PM. It depends on the institution. But, you know, based on what we've seen, you know, increases can range from like 5% to even 30%.
Wow. Okay. So there is a a financial incentive.
Absolutely.
To go for this.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's not just about the money.
Right.
It's about feeling valued.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So we've talked about a lot of, you know, potential benefits here, but are there any like downsides?
That's a really good question. I think, you know, no system's perfect. And one concern is that it could create like this unhealthy competition.
Okay, yeah.
Or a sense of hierarchy.
Yeah, you don't want it to be like, you know, us versus them.
Right. You want to make sure that everybody still feels supported in their professional development.
Exactly.
And the other thing is you got to make sure that the criteria stay relevant. The profession's constantly changing.
Oh, for sure.
So you got to make sure that the model is kind of keeping up with that.
Yeah, yeah. No, it makes sense. It needs to be flexible. You know, you mentioned before that there's no like one size fits all PAM.
Right.
So what are some things that institutions should think about, you know, when they're developing their own?
Well, budget's a big one.
Makes sense.
You know, they got to be realistic about what they can afford, you know, how much they can allocate for those salary increases.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the size of the department matters.
Okay.
A larger department might be able to implement a more complex system.
Right.
Whereas a smaller one might need to start with something simpler.
So it really is about like fitting it to the needs of the specific place.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, it's important to think about the goals too. What is the institution trying to achieve?
Right.
Are they trying to reduce turnover? Are they trying to, you know, attract new talent?
Yeah. Yeah. And make sure that the PAM aligns with that. With those goals.
Exactly. And I think going back to that idea of communication, institutions need to be really transparent about how the PAM works, the criteria, you know, the application process, all of that.
That makes sense. So people know what to expect.
Right, exactly. And it helps avoid any confusion or misunderstandings so that open communication can really help to get everybody on board and make the whole process a lot smoother.
This has been really insightful. It sounds like these PAMs could really change things for perfusionists and for the whole profession, really.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think they have the potential to be a game changer.
But it's not like you just, you know, flip a switch and everything's perfect.
Right. It takes work.
It takes planning. It takes communication. What are your final thoughts on this?
I think the key takeaway is that PAMs offer a framework. They give you a place to start.
Okay.
But it's not meant to be a rigid, one-size-fits-all solution. Each institution, each department, each individual is going to have unique needs.
And it's about adapting the model to fit those needs.
Right. So now I want to go back to the question that you asked earlier.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you were designing a PAM, what would you include?
Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, one thing that I think deserves more attention is innovation.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
You know, perfusion's constantly evolving.
Yeah.
And I think we should reward perfusionists that are really pushing the boundary.
Yeah. I like that. That makes sense. Keep people on their toes.
Exactly. Yeah. So that might mean attending conferences that are focused on new technologies.
Okay.
Maybe participating in research trials.
Okay.
Maybe even developing new perfusion protocols.
That's great. So it's not just about like learning what's out there. It's about like actually applying it, doing something new.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think another area that we could consider is collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, perfusionists don't work in isolation.
Right.
They're part of a team. So I think rewarding those collaborative efforts could really help build stronger teams.
Totally.
So that might involve, you know, working on interdisciplinary committees, maybe co-authoring research papers with colleagues from other specialties, you know, things like that.
So it's about, you know, recognizing that good patient care really relies on all those people working together.
Right. Exactly.
This is really great stuff. It's inspiring to think about how much potential there is here.
Yeah.
You know, for perfusionists to really like shape the future of the field.
Absolutely. And I hope this deep dive has, you know, inspired our listeners to think about how they can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe even advocate for some of these changes in their own workplace.
Exactly. Because this is a conversation that needs to happen and it can make a real difference.
Well, on that note, I think we've covered a lot of ground. We've talked about challenges. We've talked about the potential of PAMs and even some creative ideas for making them work.
Yeah, I think it's been a really good discussion.
So to our listeners, I hope this has given you a better understanding of this topic.
Yeah.
And maybe even inspired you to think about how you can make a difference.
Absolutely. And remember, you know, your career's a journey. So embrace those opportunities to grow and never stop learning.
That's great advice. Thank you for joining us on the deep dive. It really does,
you know,
it kind of shifts your perspective a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not just about like, you know, me. It's about like, what can we do to make the whole profession better?
Right, exactly. And by investing in perfusionists, you're ultimately investing in better care for patients.
Totally, totally. Okay, so before we wrap up completely, there's one more thing I wanted to touch on from the research.
Okay.
They talked about how, you know, implementing a PAM, it can be tricky.
Yeah.
Especially in smaller departments.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some things that these smaller departments can do?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, smaller departments are always going to face more challenges, right?
Right.
Less money, less staff.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they can't do anything. One thing they could do is, you know, start small.
Okay.
Focus on a couple of key areas, like maybe clinical excellence and education.
Okay.
And then create a simpler system for, you know, rewarding people in those areas.
So it's about like working within those limitations,
right? Exactly. Yeah. You got to be realistic.
What are some other ways to make it work in a smaller setting?
Well, I think collaboration's a big one.
Okay.
You know, smaller departments can team up.
Okay.
Share resources, share ideas, maybe even create like a regional PAM that benefits multiple hospitals.
That's interesting. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be like every hospital for themselves.
Exactly.
They can actually work together.
Yeah. And technology can also help.
Okay.
You know, there's platforms out there that can help with tracking professional development, managing applications, stuff like that.
So it's about being like creative, I guess,
yeah,
and finding ways to make it work.
Absolutely.
But I think, you know, even if a full-blown PAM isn't possible right away, just starting the conversation is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Just getting people thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because the first step is recognizing that we need a system that supports perfusionists.
Well said. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today. We talked about the challenges, we talked about the potential, and even some cool ideas for, you know, making these PAMs work in different places.
Yeah, I think so.
So to our listeners, I hope this has been, you know, helpful.
Yeah.
And maybe even given you some ideas about how to, you know, make things better in your own workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would just say, you know, never stop learning, never stop growing.
Great advice. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.